So we should really take 11 before 10. And then with Vice President White's recommendation, we could do that after 10 or even after closed session.
Does anybody have any objection to putting it where 6 in place of 6?
I mean 8?
No, 6 under special presentations.
Sure, why don't, to hear item 11 before?
Correct.
After item 5? Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
does that work for everybody?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. And do I hear any other recommendations? Okay, I'd entertain a motion to...
I so move.
As modified?
Yes, as modified.
I'll second.
So move.
Great. Okay. So it's all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? It passes. All right. So we're going to have... this time is for public comment for items that are not on the agenda. So if anybody has anything to comment that's not on the agenda, this is now the time to do it. Hearing none. Okay. So now we're going to go to Prop 218, the main reason why we're all here tonight on a Monday night. And Pavel, would you like to start out by introducing this? And
certainly.
So everybody's clear?
Madam President, members of the board, Pavel Ogren, your general manager. And today, for what is the final hearing associated with the Prop 218 process, in order for your board to consider increasing the water system rates and charges, it's sort of a two-step process. One is that we have to determine whether or not there's any final protests. So during public comment, if any individuals want to submit written protests, they can do so. But your board needs to formally find if there is no majority protest, that in fact there is no none. And then you can move on to the recommended actions, which are essentially three. One is adopting the policy associated with water conservation funding programs. The idea being is that if we don't hit the 20% conservation target, then we might generate some additional revenues. The recommendation and the policy is then that those additional revenues would be used specifically for water conservation programs, whether incentives or enforcement, so that it would further aid us in getting to our 20% conservation. Council Minery and I have worked on the resolution to develop findings in support of the adoption of the ordinance. And as we went through the study sessions and the updates over the last couple months, we've incorporated many of the notable items into those findings. And in review of some of the other case law that's associated with Prop 218, we recommend that resolution on findings be adopted. And then third is the adoption of the ordinance itself. And Celia has passed out, and they're available for the public, the first sheet of Exhibit A to the ordinance. There's some clerical corrections on it with respect to 2-inch, 3-inch, and 4-inch meters and what the prices are. Those clerical corrections were identified on March 4th when the ordinance was introduced. They were incorporated into your board's motion on March 4th, and they were also included in the notice required by Prop 218 and sent to property owners and others who are customarily sent water bills. So that's a clerical correction to the first page of Exhibit 8 to the ordinance as well. So in adoption of the ordinance, we'll want to say with the correction to the clerical errors. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Does the board have any more questions on the rate increase and how it impacts each of the households, or clear on that? Jennifer, do you have anything you want to add from the Finance Committee? Or?
That's
not particularly from the Finance Committee.
But from you?
I did have a quick question. Sorry. Of clarification.
Yeah.
I believe it's the ordinance for this schedule, for Exhibit A. Okay. Page 78 of 128 of the agenda.
Okay.
Bullet A at the top. It talks about all of the rates being adjusted annually for CPI?
Yes.
And I just wanted to clarify if that was the base and the tier rates. Is that what's included in all the rates, or is it one or the other?
Under number two, did you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to just make sure to have one final opportunity to read the ordinance.
That's perfectly fine. Page 78 of 128?
Yes.
Okay.
So for the people who don't have the ordinance in front of them, I'm just going to, if you'd like, I can read it out loud. The area that she's asking clarification on, it says, all rates shall be adjusted annually every May 1st for application in the first billing period that starts after May 1st of that year by the average of the annual percentage increases in the consumer price index for all urban wage earners and clerical workers for all items for all those counties. I don't see San Luis Obispo in that county.
That's right. Those are the two indexes that are published. I believe it's by the Department of Labor. Relating to us, and because one's a Southern California and the other is a Northern California on the Central Coast, it's a common practice for us to average the two.
That makes sense.
Yes. So should we? Would it be fair to say that the rates will increase every year on May 1st or not?
They'll be adjusted on May 1st, and then what we have to do is we have to put out a minimum 30-day notice to all of our customers. So what we would do is put it in one bill, put the notice in one bill that we send out to the customers to then be effective for the subsequent billing period.
And it's an average between the north and the south because we're central, correct?
Correct.
So it's taking one economical area and another economical area and just having a happy medium, okay? So what would you guesstimate how that would affect us all?
Well, right now CPI increases are pretty nominal. Yeah.
A half a percent, so like maybe 30 cents per on an average bill?
Asked me to do some pretty quick math in my head. I think the last time we looked at it, it was about a percent or so. So
my question was just... Where it says all rates, I was just clarifying that it does include the base rate and the tiers.
Yes.
Okay.
And the exception is on B and C because we want to make sure that on B and C we don't double count.
Right.
And so there's some language in there to make sure that we don't increase by the CPI and by the cost of our increase in state water or Lopez charges.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Karen, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I've read it a couple of times and didn't see anything that caught my eye.
Matt?
No, I'll wait till after public comment and see.
Okay. Anybody have any objection to open up the floor and hearing from the public? No?
No.
Does anybody want to speak to the issue tonight of the rate increase? No? Okay.
Nobody?
Okay.
It would be appropriate to also ask if anybody else would like to a final opportunity to submit written protests.
Yeah, if there's anybody opposed to the rate increase that's on the floor tonight before rate payers, now is the time to submit it in writing. And we also will take verbal comments and make sure that they're reflected in the minutes.
Should we just stand up?
You can come up
to the podium,
ma'am.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think a lot of us are just curious because we had a large rate increase recently that we're doing it again, a pretty large increase, and it feels like a punishment for having conserved water. So maybe you could just explain why that's happening.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I can't tell you that, you know, it makes sense, but we can tell you why it's happening.
Well, it does feel like a punishment, but what happens is we have certain fixed costs that go along with delivering the water. We have contracts that have to be fulfilled, and it's kind of like a mortgage payment or rent. And a bad analogy is that if your rent is $1,000 a month and your income goes down, your rent is still $1,000 a month. And we see that's what's happened in part, is that the costs have remained or gone up in some cases, even though, ironically, we're not getting the water delivery We still have those certain fixed costs. Our revenues have gone down. And additionally, with our rate increases that were put into effect in 2011 that have come each year, they were insufficient to really cover the water aspects of it. The numbers, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't cover. A lot of things weren't covered, maintenance, infrastructure. And so they were insufficient in that manner. And so when you have conservation, what it directly affects is our bottom line. And even though it's the right thing to do, we then don't have the ability to cover our expenses. And so that's why we're here tonight, in part. And so.
And in fact, the people of Oceano have done, you know, just starting to really hear the drought and how serious it is. I'd say the community has done amazing in just drastically cutting back very, very quickly. You know, you can go through each neighborhood and see people. We're letting go of our plants and the things that, you know, we take pleasure in and for the bigger picture. So I think as a community, we've conserved over 11% already. You know, unfortunately, it's a double whammy, you know.
It's going to be sad, I think. I don't know how old your children are, but my children may not remember front yard lawns. And it's going to be really sad.
Yeah. And Mr. Ogren, do you have anything you want to add? Or I'll finish with public comment, I guess. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and you've moved this item up in your agenda, and I wonder if it's possible to leave the protest period open until the end of the meeting, because if someone had looked at your agenda and saw that there were multiple items ahead of it, that perhaps they may have waited another half an hour or something before coming down here. I'm hopeful that you will accept any other protests should they come in sometime within the rest of the balance of the meeting.
Thank you. So anybody else has any question about how things are going? Come on.
Well, good evening. I may be underinformed, but I'm a little confused. In the beginning, it sounded like you were saying we were to target a 20% reduction, but due to the fixed costs, our costs are going up, or you're not meeting your expenses due. So it sort of seems a little bit like a catch-22. We're forced into a restriction, but because we're restricting, we'll pay higher rates, and that doesn't make sense to me. Thank you.
Well, you're right. So, I mean, yeah, everybody's going to be faced with the reduction because of the drought. You know, it does cut into the revenue and it does cut into operations. So, yeah, that's kind of how it is.
There is no answer. That is correct.
Well, the answer is not the right one. You know.
Okay.
So you're right. So, okay. Anybody else have anything they want to offer on this topic?
Well, I was just going to say that the public hearing was...
Madam President, if there's no more public comment or submittal of protest, I think it would be appropriate to call for an end to the public comment.
Okay.
Can I ask one question?
Sure. We're really encouraging people to ask as many questions as possible.
So if we have to pay for a certain amount of water, it sounds like, no matter if we use it or not. Does that water get saved? Do we have like a credit for the future? And in our reduction of usage, is there no savings in that at all? Does that make sense?
I don't understand the second part of the question.
So if we've reduced how much we're using, is there no savings in the expense on your side at all?
Right. So if you look at our state water contracts and our Lopez water contracts, those are fixed costs that the community of Oceano pays every year, whether or not we use the water. And so as far as the banking water, saving it in like, for example, San Luis Reservoir, I'll defer that to Pavo. Mr. Ogren can address that, but that's a ripe issue that is being looked at currently. And, you know, the costs are what they are, you know, kind of like a lease on a truck. You know, I'm going to do another bad analogy, but if you lease a truck that you're using to make money and the business dries up, you may not have as much money. And so to try to make it up, you have to charge more. And so it can be difficult.
So
using less doesn't save any expense on your part at all?
Well, not organizationally. In each tier, like on the first tier, let's take the first tier. It's 1 through 6, right?
Cubic feet.
So if you use 4, right, it would be nice if you could carry, you know, 2 forward, right? But you can't, you know. And it's same with our state water contract. You know, the people of Oceano pay, I think, $740,000 a year for us to get that state water, to have access to it, which is different than other entities around. Oceano has done a tremendously great job in planning for the future. We have more water sources coming into the area, but we pay dearly for those, and these are one of the costs. We get state water. We bought into Lopez when Lopez was being built, so we get Lopez water. And then we have the groundwater. So in order to ensure that the community always had water, now that we're in a drought, people are scrambling for water. We as a community aren't necessarily scrambling because we just inherently planned. And I don't know if how it got passed on from generation to generation, but for a small community such as Oceano, we've done a tremendously good job at diversifying what we have as far as our supplies. And we have to conserve. It's socially the right thing to do. Do we have to conserve? Oceano residents are probably the only ones who, if they really, really didn't care about the region, could just keep watering our lawns. But I don't think we're those type of people. You know, and so we have the water. We just have to conserve it. And now on another front, we want to be able to bank it. So if we don't use all our water in 1 year, we want to be able to store it someplace. We've bought that, and we should have that right. And we're hoping that that water will carry us into 2016. It rightfully should. Other communities are probably going to need more help, and I don't know where they're going to get that help, but Mr. Ogren can speak more to this, but this is part of, you know, conserving, is that you cut back on your revenue. The pipes still have to be replaced. The guys still have to be in the field, and we still got to pay the state an arm and a leg.
And I got another answer to that. If you used 12 cubic feet of water in a second tier, and you conserve and go down to 5 or 6, then you are saving money, actually. So if you're a very small water user, you won't see any savings. But if you're a bigger water user and you conserve, you can see a savings because of the change in the tiers. We had 3 tiers. And now we have 5, so that it used to be 1 rate for like 5 or 6 or 7, 8 different cubic feet, and now we've reduced it. So there's all these little slots you can fit in. So there can be savings, but below 6 cubic feet, and that's cubic feet for how? For a month? For 2 months?
2 months.
CCF is just simply 748 gallons. The rates are every other month. Yeah,
every other month. So yeah. So that's 6 times 748 times 2 months. You know, so if you can reduce into that bracket, then you are saving. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions? Or Mr. Oakland, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think for protocol, it's appropriate to you know, continue to take public comment questions until you close public comment, and then I can provide some wrap-up answers to the questions that were asked.
Okay. So is there any more questions? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going
to
close
public comment.
Second. It was moved and seconded over here.
Okay, great.
So, you know, there's a couple of good questions that were asked, and it's not that the district is trying to collect more money from the customers. It's that the district is attempting to modify the rates in order to be able to collect the money that was previously targeted in 2011, plus 3.5% moving into next fiscal year. So when the rate increase was adopted in 2011, what's called a revenue requirement, or how much money does the district need to collect in order to make the water fund viable, that was $2,016,567. The idea that if there's more consumption, then you get each gallon for less money, but because consumption has gone down, in order to collect that targeted amount of revenues, the cost per gallon of water has to go up. Bringing it back to some of the very, so we have a base rate that is for 6 units of water, and that base rate is going from $44.70 every 2 months to $46.46 every 2 months. So that's $1.76 over a 2 month period, or what, 88 cents per month, and that's for the base rate. Now, our unit charges for Lopez Water are going from $1.14 to $1.54. But I think these are some of the numbers that Vice President White was trying to identify, that if customers are using a relatively smaller amount of water, this rate modification is still relatively minor. Again, the increase is 3.5% over the target that was established in 2011. But because of the level of conservation that's occurred since 2011, the district's been running in a deficit. But just like when water consumption goes down, the cost per unit has to go up, also included in the ordinance is the rate decrease, so that once the drought is over and we have more water that people can use, then the idea is, well, then the cost per unit can go down. And so that's also incorporated into the rate ordinance. With respect to the water resources themselves, we have three different supplies. We have groundwater, we have Lopez Water, and we have state water. Groundwater is currently being pretty significantly impacted. Overall, out of the four agencies that pump out of our portion of the groundwater basin, and those are Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, and Oceano, collectively we pump 25% of our allocation from 2014. And that is, you know, for all practical purposes, about the amount of groundwater that's really available. So the drought has had a significant effect on our groundwater. On Lopez Water, the possibility is that we're going to be looking at a 10% cutback in Lopez Water in 2015. That's a very real possibility. On the State Water Project, they're only delivering 20% of their allocations in 2015, but fortunately, in San Luis Obispo County, we're in a better situation than many parts of the state, because our county's allocation on state water is 25,000 acre-feet per year, but its local delivery commitments to agencies like Oceano and Pismo Beach and Morro Bay is less than one-fifth of that. So when state water is delivering 20%, our county can fulfill 100% of our local needs. And therein lies in that what our basic strategy is, and that is to rely as much as possible on state water in 2015 and preserve Lopez Water for 2016 and other years. So, you know, in terms of you know, the wrap-up statement and everything, our costs are substantially fixed in nature. We do save a little bit on pumping costs if we don't have to pump as much, but those are relatively small costs. Almost two-thirds of our costs are paid for state water and Lopez Water, and even if they're not delivering 100%, we still have to pay the bill. So, again, water systems are substantially fixed cost in nature. If consumption goes down, then the cost per unit needs to go up in order to be able to pay the bills. And then moving forward into next year, there's a 3.5% increase that's targeted on that.
Okay. So does anybody else have anything you want to offer?
No.
Okay. Is there any more questions that the audience has? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close this hearing.
Well, we need to take a motion and a vote.
We'll close the protest hearing, not the public
right.
hearing, but closing the protest hearing, and then it requires determination by your board that there was not a majority protest. At this point in time, Celia, how many written protests have we received? So we've received 6 written protests.
And what is the number of protests that would have been 50% plus one? It's substantially more than 6. It's like...
you know, we have about 2,180, so 1,190, or 1,090.
1,090. We would need 1,091 protests in order to...
Yeah, or 1,085 more than what we have.
Okay.
So... what happens sometimes if it's in some communities where it's a close call, you would have to basically stop and continue the hearing so that a formal count can be done. But with 6 received protests, I think your board's ability to make a determination that there's not a that there is not a majority protest would be the appropriate action.
My phone would have been ringing off the hook. So, okay, at this moment I'm going to take the opportunity to close the protest hearing. I hate that thing. And then would I entertain a motion to adopt the
for
resolution?
For number one, and just taking it in sequential order, you first need to make the determination that there is not a majority protest.
Okay.
Okay. Hearing then, so would that be in a motion, the form of a motion?
Yes,
the first one.
Okay, so does somebody want to make that motion?
I'll move that we determine that there was no majority protest.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Should be
okay,
a roll call.
Okay, let's do a roll call on this one, Celia.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, it's been determined at this time that there's not a majority of protest. You're taking a roll call vote, and so now do I entertain a motion to adopt the resolution?
That's right. So now under two and three can be taken individually, or they probably should be separate because of the ordinance and the separate.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one would be 2A.
Right. So if somebody would like to make a motion for 2A, which is the attached policy. This is our cheat sheet.
and
our policy.
I make a motion that we adopt the policy to fund water conservation programs for our community if the community does not achieve 20% conservation. Is that right?
Correct.
That's all?
Yes,
for now.
Okay. I make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Celia, we're going to do a roll call vote on this one, too, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay. 5-0, that passes. And can I ask you to offer the second part of that as well?
I make a motion that we adopt resolution with findings in support of the ordinance increasing and adjusting water system service charges.
I'll second.
Okay.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
And then on 2C, the recommendation to adopt the ordinance increasing and adjusting water system service charges with the correction of the clerical errors identified, and you can combine that with and waive the reading of the ordinance.
Okay. I move to adopt staff's recommendation then.
Second.
Council Minery recommends actually reading the title of the ordinance that we're waiving, and I'll do that. Ordinance increasing and adjusting water system service charges.
All right. Then I'll move to approve staff recommendation. I apologize for the early.
Second.
Director
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Garrow?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
And President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, 5-0. It passes.
I move to waive the reading of the ordinance.
You already did that.
You did
that.
That.
Okay, good.
Okay. Did we pass enough stuff? Okay.
I would like to thank
the
people of Oceana for their support at this time, and for number one, for conserving water, and number two, supporting the community service district.
I would like to thank them as well. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for coming out tonight. And I also want to thank everybody who attended the open house over at the Oceano Depot the other day. It was really a great turnout, and it was nice to see so many people interested in the topic and things we can do on a community level. So thank you very much. Okay, next item on the agenda is the Sheriff's Department. Do we have a representative from the Sheriff's Department?
No.
Not tonight. Okay. Mr. Maricino. Our fearless field supervisor. He's the man responsible for the water coming through the spigot.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. Last time we spoke, we had 13 work orders, 3 USAs, 10 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hours call-outs. We also replaced a few other meters that were stuck. We had some equipment checks. We had a run. The biggest project that we had was last week. It took from Monday to basically today. We got Well 8 back online, disinfecting everything, about 300 feet up. Column tube and shaft got reinstalled with a new pump, disinfected the well, did our procedures to get the back tees, sent those off, and they came back. Everything was good, and the well came back online as of today.
Excellent.
So in layman's language, we have our well's back up.
So, yes, our
well. Biggest water
the
well.
The biggest.
Yes,
one.
It's 1,100 gallons per minute. It's the most gallons per minute since I've been here that it's been producing.
Thank you.
It provides system pressure. And it fills our reservoirs while it pumps and gives the system what it needs.
Great.
The demand of it.
And could you describe what you found when you pulled up the well from the bottom? I went out and saw it, obviously. Not everybody did.
Oh, as for the pump, it's assembled by bowls with impellers. Basically lifts water. It's got to lift it 300 feet to get it up in the system and have the adequate pressure to feed the system. So the bowls were actually coming apart completely. And a couple sections, and then the bottom piece was falling apart, so it could not create that suction to give the water the lift it needed. And it was about 15 years old. So we definitely got a reliable well for at least another good 15 years.
That's great news.
Yeah. And then we also recycled over 8,000 pounds of concrete and asphalt, recycled over 1,000 pounds of steel. Continued working on well 5. We removed the natural gas Waukesha motor from that location. But the big achievement was well 8. And that's.
Well, what's going to happen with the well 5 Waukesha motor? Are you guys replacing it with something more modern, or what's the,
Absolutely.
What's the plan?
It'll get replaced with something a lot more modern, a lot more efficient.
So
it'll be electric.
It'll be electric motor?
Yeah, and that's the project that the State Water Board has indicated grant funding on.
Okay.
And we have not yet received the grant agreement in hand, which is our formal actions with your board are once we receive the actual grant agreement. So Tony and the crews have been able to do with their own efforts some of the prep work out at the site.
And that was a natural gas motor, probably from the 1940s. Is that what we think?
I believe it's probably 60s.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but it is an older.
It's pretty old.
Yes.
80s. So 50-year-old system.
So Tony, you made all of your water quality tests on well 8 have come back and.
Correct. And as of today, it is back online.
And that's no small feat, because on installing municipal wells, they have to do a lot of. Basically, they have to wash every piece of instrument that goes down there with a bleach chlorine type of a product to make sure the well's not contaminated. So there was a lot of work both by the contractor as well as by Tony and Casey and Jason to get that done.
Everything's physically swabbed inside, sprayed on the outside, And then as it's reinstalled, everything inside the well, we have to disinfect also.
Are wells metered so that we know what we're pumping?
That is correct. They are metered.
All right, well, this is big news.
So do you anticipate the quality of the water being better?
I believe the production's yeah. better. I don't see why the quality of water would change.
Okay.
So the production would be better pressure, toilets flushing better?
Absolutely. It's over 200 gallons per minute more than we've ever had in the past. Hmm. And the pressure itself is about 15 PSI higher.
Okay. Great.
So why the shower pressure just increased?
I would have to say no, just because the well just came back online. Yes.
What about 2 hours ago?
What about right now, Tony?
It's currently not on right now.
Well, thank you. You guys have done
thank
a lot of...
Thank you very much.
It's been a lot of hard work by the field staff with the maintenance program you guys started the last year and a half, the jetting program for the sewer system, the attention to the valve exercising, and this is, I really applaud you guys. Thank you, Tony.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we need to explain what valve exercising is?
So valve exercising is, there's valves all over the system, and around 2006, I believe, the maintenance program stopped, where they stopped exercising valves, and they get frozen, and so if you want to isolate portions of the system, what'll happen is they can't turn them. And it's like your faucet on your house. You can't turn it off. And so when they would need to do a service project or something, they might find themselves unable to do so. And so thanks to Tony's leadership, about a year and a half ago, they reinstituted some of these maintenance procedures. Casey is also right next to him, a valuable member of our three-person staff. And that's in the field. And so with that, they're also... one of the things that's happening is the assets of the district are being inventoried. The age of the pipeline is being looked at, the age of the valves, the water meters, all of these things. And they have, because they have a lifespan, and some of our items, such as our infrastructure items, might have had a 30-year lifespan, but they're 50 years old, they're 60 years old. And so what happens is you start having failures in the system, and you start having either sewer system overflows, or water line breakages with fresh water running into the streets, and obviously these are all things that we want to avoid. You could have sinkholes. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And so we really appreciate the attention that the guys in the fields are giving all of these items. So this was a big item. Our main well 8, the one that could supply all of Oceano, was down, and now it's back up. So this is huge.
Okay, thanks, Matt, for what a freeze is. Okay, Karen, do you want to do a report for the Five Cities Fire Authority?
I do not have the...
Okay, we can table it.
Yeah, I don't have this month's... I forgot to get this month's readouts.
All right.
But I will say that they have been extremely busy with medicals. And just our statistics show that there is a constant increase in the requirements of responding to medical emergencies, and not just emergencies, but just people with like heart attacks. And recently they did another one where somebody was basically dead and they brought him back. But in this case, it took 4 firefighters. So, and you get 2 or 3 calls like that. Anyway, we're doing well.
Thanks. Okay. Let's do outside committees. Director Angelo, were you able to attend?
No, I didn't make the meeting at the
airport land.
Yeah, no, over here too. I'm this last weekend.
Oh, the open house.
Yes, I wasn't able to attend there. I had intended to, but I had an issue come up that I couldn't leave.
Okay. Jen, you want to talk about finance or?
Sure. We on Monday of last week had a finance committee meeting where we discussed the budget update and adjustments, which is included in the agenda tonight.
Item 10B.
Yes. And next we'll be discussing future budget considerations, including policies that recommit development fees for infrastructure funds, and we'll be discussing debt payments as well.
Okay,
as
great.
The year ends.
All right.
Karen?
Yeah, I attended last Friday a regular meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority, and we're now meeting at 10 a.m. on Fridays at the Grover City Hall, and it was a budget planning workshop for the 15-16 fiscal year, and we talked about things like budget shortfalls, but we also... One of the big things we will be doing this year is we have reserve officers, reserve firefighters. Mm-hmm. They're basically right out of fire academies. They have limited experience, and they're working by the hour for Five Cities Fire Authority at $10 to $12 an hour. And we very much plan on giving these young firefighters increase in hourly rate to, we're going to try for $12 to $16 an hour. Because, you know, they're not making, I think In-N-Out Burger pays more than $10 to $12 an hour. And they're fully trained as firefighters. They just haven't had a lot of experience. And they back up our rank-and-file firefighters. So that was one of the major things we talked about, along with Truck 6, the big hook and ladder truck, is paid for next year. And we know that the last payment will be due, so we're going to, ahead of that, order one more fire truck that will pick up on the same budgetary funds for equipment. If you got one paid for, then you can use that money to buy another one. We'll order it this year because it takes 8 to 10 months to get delivery of a fire truck. And this will be not like the great big one. It'll be a modest structure, residential structure truck. And we talked about a lot of other things. But those were two of the main things as far as moving forward, working on the budget for next year and the priorities for the next 5 years.
Matt.
Great. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting. For those who don't know, that's the sanitation plant, which sits down here in Oceano. We have a seat on that with the member from Grover Beach and a member from Arroyo Grande. Serves these three communities. We had a couple of items on the agenda. The first was the approval of the bylaws, which we did approve. The second was whether to consider changing the committee. We did not change the committee. That's a committee that's meeting tonight regarding the request for proposals. We did receive two requests for proposals to review the past management practices up to 2013. I understand that committee is meeting this evening and is probably still meeting. The proposals range in cost from, I think it was $55,000 to $70,000. The proposals will be brought back to our meeting with the recommendation from this committee next Wednesday. So I'll be interested to see what they recommend.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
The Sand District, mm-hmm. on the agenda they had approved a feasibility study for right. satellite operations, or could you tell me when that's going to come back up on the agenda, I think?
I want to say it's in May. I don't remember specifically when that's coming back. What that is we're looking at building basically what's a secondary treatment plant upline to work on recycled water to try to protect the resources we have from these three communities, about 2.3 million gallons going out the ocean outfall every single day. And so in this day and age with supposedly 1 year of water left in California, that's not something that can continue. You can't continue to put, and in addition, PISMO is putting out an equal amount of water. And so before conservation, it was almost 5 million gallons a day that were going out our ocean outfall a day, 5 million gallons. And so on April 21st, PISMO Beach is going to be working on, we have correspondence to this. They're going to be working on their own feasibility study, and they're going to be hearing this. It doesn't say what time it's at, but it'll be at the City Council on April 21st. They're inviting 5:30 p.m. 5:30. They're inviting Oceano to help to try to help pursue grant funding in a joint manner. I think they ought to probably be asking the sanitation plant about this. But it's just so important to try to protect our resources and in whatever ways that we can, especially water. So that is something that's coming up. We do have a feasibility study. We're trying to position ourselves. If you recall, in the fall, there was the Prop 1, and we're trying to position ourselves to try to receive Prop 1 funding. The feasibility study that is being done is about $150,000. Half of it was to be procured by grant. Of the remaining part, 25% was paid for by the sewer plant, by the sanitation district, and 25% of it was paid for by Arroyo Grande. There was no direct cost to the Oceano ratepayers for that. So, does that answer the question?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact date, but it's coming right up. I could look. I could find out.
Okay, yeah, because I figure if Pismo is doing, they're moving rapidly down, getting their plan up, the sand district, if they put that back up on as a priority, for it, because it's been on the back up to being a priority, that'll be 6 million gallons a day that we have that we can put back into wherever it can be used.
And so this may also contribute to the redundancy at the plant, and so this really the recycled water project, satellite plant, whatever you want to call it, redundancy, needs to be the first priority for the sanitation district, period. This needs to be the number one priority. So we'll keep moving that forward.
Yeah, there is a lot of exciting things happening countywide, and it, of course, can't happen fast enough. Mr. Ogren, any committee reports, committee assignments?
Not for me in the past reporting period.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to this? Okay. Closing number 8, moving on to number 9. Can I get, this is for items on the agenda under the consent calendar.
Public comment.
For public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Celia. Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'll just briefly speak to your minutes. And we've talked about this before. The section 10 of your agenda, there's a box, and that's where the public is supposed to speak to items 10 and below, beyond. And I did that at your last board meeting, and the minutes reflect that, but not under each item that I spoke about. And so I'm just looking for some consistency. I know 2 weeks ago we had kind of the same problem, and you fixed it. But then there was this one thing where not only I spoke in the box period, so did Ms. McLaughlin and Ms. Austin. And then your minutes reflect, and I watched the replay, Ms. Austin was allowed to speak again in the box period. So it's about being treated fairly, Ms. Lucy. And
pardon me?
I'm not being treated fairly when I come to your meetings. So, and I don't know if that's by accident or on purpose, but I would hope that we just have a better, fair chair from henceforth. You're going to consider the caliber audit and attest proposal of $19,500 for next year's audit, and I'm sorry to see that you didn't go the request for proposal route and see if you could find a competitive bid. I believe you could have saved maybe as much as $6,000 to $10,000 with a different auditor. Well, I'll just bite my tongue on the rest of that, and I'll be back for the next possibility to speak to the items 10 and
beyond in the box.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Feel your pain. I'll try to be more sensitive. Anybody else like to comment? Okay, I'm going to close public comment. Does anybody have any questions on the consent agenda items?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay.
Ms. White.
Before we, I do have a question on the audit, but I wanted to hear from the finance chairs. Is it chair or chairs?
Chair.
People is to...
She's the chair.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Director Blackburn. I know that you took it into consideration, and so I noticed that what's the name? Caliber. It was $500 more this year than last year. Is that right?
No, I believe it is the same cost
as
last year.
It's the same, so there was no cost increase.
No.
And is there, I don't know, for audits that I've dealt with, this is kind of, that's what they charge, between $14,000 and up, depending on how much your records need to be cleaned up and how much your budget is. But is this abnormally high, or is it?
It is possible that the lower cost could have been achieved with an RFP. However, staff did postulate that the consistency in having the same auditor as we clean up our books and really set them in order would be beneficial for one last year. So personally, I did vote to approve them continuing on for this year, but I would suggest that next year we go out for an RFP.
Okay, good.
I would definitely support that.
Yeah. All right. That was my question. I just wanted to hear from you. And in the past, we've had to pick up audits and had to do multiple audits. And when can we expect the audit arrival for 14?
Most recent discussions with the principal with Caliber is he expects us to have a report in early May.
Early May?
Yes.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe there's a motion and a second on the...
Yes, there is. Okay. So, any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor of supporting the consent agenda items?
Aye.
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 Aye. Passes unanimously, Celia. Okay. On to business items. This is where we'll take public comment on any reports, boards of directors, outside committee meetings. Ms. Tacker.
Will you be taking comment on the business items at this time?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's everything above and below item 10 that I am forced to speak to, and you're not going to open it back up in 10A, B, and C.
If you want to speak to the single-day use permit for the Santa Maria group or the budget status update or considering Wednesday's meeting, now is the time to speak to those.
Right.
We'll definitely take your comments into consideration as we discuss it.
And I won't be able to have the benefit of the general manager's staff report or oral report, but you will. And you'll get to ask questions, and you'll get to comment. So I have to go first.
Betsy, Ms. Tacker, you're speaking on process, and we're talking about these three items that we're discussing.
You're also the chair.
So I'm trying to be more sensitive, more competent to your needs.
You're the chair.
And I'm doing that right now, and you're not accepting it.
No,
so
I just want
to speak to one of the
three
items.
You're not going to open it back up.
No.
President Lucy, okay. I just want to be clear because we just went through the Brown Act presentation last time that the Brown Act requires public comment on items on the agenda, but public comment can be taken before or during these items, and it's at the board's discretion. So it's perfectly fine the way that you're handling it.
Thanks for the validation.
And my little add-in is that I don't have any presentation on any of those three items other than a couple of brief remarks. So the written staff reports are really in substance what is under consideration.
Correct. So, Ms. Tacker, if we were having a public hearing on something else, then of course I would understand your point and I'd open it back up, and I have been far more generous with you than with others. So I'm going to start the clock back, because we did comment, and I'll take your comments on 10A, B, or C, not the process.
And the items above, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So I will speak to the reports because I really am not fully informed on A, B, or C. I'll get informed as I listen. Ms. Luzzi, earlier this evening you spoke to banking water, and I'd like to see an agenda item that fully explains what you're planning to do as far as that goes. And I do understand there's some correspondence from the county to Mr. Ogren recently about some allocations with the LRRP, the Lopez and State Water, again, allocations. So I'd like to fully understand what you're doing there. Mr. Guerrero mentioned the South County Sanitation District RFP committee, and I just attended a portion of it this evening, and I would have to say that I'm sorry that meeting conflicted with not only this special meeting, but also the City of Grover Beach's regular council meeting is also tonight. And I recall at a meeting a few weeks ago when Ms. Luzzi was in attendance at the Sanitation District, she quipped that her friends would want to participate and that Oceana was underrepresented. And there is only one person on the 9-member committee from Oceana, but tonight Oceano's here and they're unable to be there because of scheduling conflicts. So Mr. Guerrero also spoke to recycled water. I look forward to the feasibility study, but a question that I asked at the last sanitation district meeting was, when will we be seeing the rate increase? You did get a rate study underway a year ago, August, that firm was engaged. And then I did not hear the report out of closed session at the sanitation district meeting, and if the litigation continues, and I think your board deserves the benefit of that report as well.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. When I spoke of banking, other entities in the county have talked about, keeping their water close to home. It's not a novel concept, and it's certainly not an agenda item at this time. Pismo Beach has talked about it. One of the big reservoirs is up in San Luis Reservoir, which is in the next county up. So lots of people are talking about it, but it's when the state decides to do that, then we'll get to discuss it further.
President Luzzi, it was in December of 2014, and I can't remember if it was December 10th. You only had one meeting in December.
Mm-hmm.
But this issue associated with Lopez Water, State Water, the LRRP, it was on your December agenda.
Correct.
You took action, and that would be where to go back and look at the December agenda to find out about what was on the board's agenda.
I was reading last week's letter from the county.
That's correct. That's in response to what was ultimately acted upon by the board in December.
All right. And I don't think anybody can speak to somebody else's scheduling or somebody else's meeting at the Sand District. So moving right along. Mr. Ogren, you want to talk to us about 10A, which is a consideration of a recommendation to approve a single-day use permit for the facilities for the Santa Maria Four Wheelers Club?
Certainly, working with Councillor Minnery, we put together the single-day permit. We talked to the county. They also have to get a single-day use permit from the county. They've provided us all the information we need. They've provided us with their insurance certification. And so the only thing that remaining that they're going to have to do, and for me to approve this as recommended, is they have to provide proof of their single-day use permit from the county. And that's included within you know, our conditions. And that was my brief report.
Why did they have to get a permit from the county?
From if we do something that's part of our normal course of business and normal course of operation, then we don't need any special permits from the county. But they are going to be doing something that's not normal part of land use for this piece of property.
Okay, I understand then. Yeah.
Okay.
And are they still interested? They still want to do this?
Yes, very much okay. So.
Yeah. And we did that was voted on last time, was it? Was it
no,
not?
No.
Okay,
no, no,
no. So I'd entertain a motion.
I'd move to approve staff's recommendation.
I second it. If they can,
if they can
get everything done.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Do we want to just do an yay, nay? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Passes. Tell them have a great barbecue. Yes, Karen?
That's one question. Is this single event going to lead to some kind of policy that we can consider on other rentals, or we just do it on a single basis? What is your recommendation on that?
My recommendation is to have them individually considered by your board. If we do something else, I think that most likely we need to have some sort of a time schedule so that if there's a nonprofit that's interested, that maybe they need to apply 30 days prior to their scheduled date so that we have plenty of time to process it. So something simple to create a rule on how these will be considered, I think, is a good idea. But, you know, that they have to do an application and certain pre-advanced timing. But my preference is for your board to look at them individually.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I just thought I would interject something because I did look at how other districts locally handle this type of issue. And, for example, I know the Port St. Louis Harbor District has a beautiful facility where they hold their public meetings, and they have an application online that can be filled out for parties that are interested in doing it. And they do that as a rental of the facility, and so that could be something that could be considered by the board if the board wanted to open up this room for other events. And from my perspective, of course, the number one issue is as long as there's insurance by whatever the group is, that's the number one concern. And I do agree with Mr. Ogren that certainly now it's important that these things come to the board so you get a sense of what the interest is.
Most definitely. Great. Thank you. Okay, item B, Mr. Ogren, budget status update. Ms. Blackburn? No?
I believe this staff report was thorough, and I'll let Mr. Ogren speak.
You guys can play tag.
Well, the staff report was really thorough. And,
I think the point of emphasis right now is that we're a couple weeks into the fourth quarter of the fiscal year. And so in terms of my priorities, really it is about completing the fiscal year, monitoring the budget. The overall status is still consistent with the last several months. You know, it's close. We have to make sure we can manage like some of the costs that are within our control. And as Director Blackburn had indicated, in moving into the budget policies, the idea of making some preliminary budget policies associated with dedicating money from new development to infrastructure is some of the issues that we're going to be talking about at the Finance and Audit Committee and then coming back to your board. But, you know, it's the current year budget. It's prepping for the audit. And developing the 15-16 budget, which is where we're turning our attention to at this point in time.
Great. You don't have anything else, Deb?
Okay. So, and also, too, is just and in developing the annual budget, right, through your committee, the performance is one of the top priorities in it?
Correct. Well, for me.
Yes. And you were asking me, but yes.
So in the strategic planning goals that we set for 2015, it's the second half of the calendar year that we're going to be turning our attention to the pro forma. So we want to make sure to get the budget developed, get the audit in good shape. Obviously, we've accomplished one of our significant milestones for the first half of the calendar year today, and the pro forma will be a big part of the second half of the calendar year.
Good. Director Grove, did you have anything to add for the meeting?
Did what?
Did you have anything else to add for the meetings that I might have missed?
Is this a trick question?
No.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure if you were wanting to talk. So.
My mother used to talk to me like that. Is there something that you forgot?
No. Okay. We've been having these meetings about once a month for the budget committee, and I think it's been very good to keep a focus on it. I mean, this is really a change in direction that the district has taken from ever before, thanks to Mr. Ogren. But the focus on the finances and the constant review and analysis of it really helped keep it fresh in your mind, because if you wait 3 months, 6 months, you're relearning it every time and not really picking up a lot of the messages. And so it's been going very well, and I think that it's really helping to, at the last meeting, for example, to change into a policy discussion over things that we'd like to accomplish in the future, and, for example, new connection fees being moved into, tagged into infrastructure like they always should have been, in my opinion, but weren't, and items like how the Sheriff's Department next door is a building that we own, how the rents are being received, and where that money initially came from, and that the water fund and sewer fund ought to be reimbursed. And so these are policy discussions that are happening at Finance Committee that the level of analysis is definitely going up, and I think it'll be to the benefit of the district and the people of Oceano. So.
It's becoming more familiar and more comfortable with budget items. You know, everybody just kind of freezes when you talk about the budget because nobody ever has enough money. But if we get more comfortable with living within our means and adjusting to that, you know, we can manage the dollar better. And so I think it's a brilliant idea to tighten up our tactics on how we look at budgets. Just their mindsets. And so on that note...
This is simply a receive and file, no action necessary.
Right. So on that note, it's on the agenda to consider canceling Wednesday's meeting. Wednesday's meeting would be a duplication of tonight's meeting, and it would also cost the ratepayers, the district, about, I don't know, probably
we'd have AGP
$1,000 to $1,500 that we'd saved that we've handled in work tonight. So I would entertain a motion to postpone Wednesday's meeting. And
President Lucy, it'd be to cancel Wednesday's meeting.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll make a motion that we cancel Wednesday's meeting.
Fine, cancel.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Okay. Utility items? None? Okay. I'm going to
take session.
Hold
comment.
On a second. I got three people trying to tell me how to facilitate this agenda, and I'm not one of them. Who's the 3 men at the table?
Us guys, we can't stop talking.
Take a break.
I knew you guys would stumble over each other.
Notice it's all the guys, too.
Before we go into closed session, I want to move up a public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Anybody who'd like to comment on any closed session items? 13 through B? Nope. Then hearing none, No public? Okay. On that note, we're going to move into... how about if we do written received communications and late received written communications?
Do you want to do that now or do you want to go to closed session first?
No, I think we should do it now.
Just go ahead and bang it out.
So we do it now, and so if anybody's anxiously waiting for anybody to write to us, they'll hear about it.
President Lucy, on late received written communications, well, that's 15. So on received written communications, I included two items that we received. One is the LAFCO budget and the notice of their hearing. They've got about a 4% increase. I called in order to find out what our share of the costs are, and that's actually not something that they can determine at this point. It depends on revenues for the various special districts as determined by the auditor. But for budget purposes, I'm simply going to assume the basic percentage increase that's shown in here. That'll come back to both finance. And then the other one is from the State Water Board, where we are going to have a new regulatory requirement, and the first report will be due in September. And that's the idea that water systems discharge, and maybe it's a line flushing, maybe it's, like when Tony just, we went with well 8 back online, he had a discharge to waste, and we did not want to put it down into the creek system or discharge it, so he talked to Plant Superintendent Clemens, and we discharged that waste directly into the sewer system with Mr. Clemens' approval. But those types of discharges now are going to be subject to regulatory oversight, and so our first report is going to be due in September, and obviously we'll have something on the agenda then in the coming months for that particular work item. I have to get together with the regional board in order to find out what's the depth of work that's going to be necessary and whether or not the district engineer is going to need to be involved in it. And with just the recently received communication, I don't have answers to those questions. I've just postulated the questions to myself. But those are the two that were included in your agenda package.
Okay. So... don't be surprised if they regulate us beyond regulation and that the regulations trip over each other as they're all trying to regulate us at once. And on that note...
is there some period of time when I could ask a question?
Yeah.
In regard to water? I've seen several newspaper articles that list Arroyo's got to save this much, Pismo's got to save... and Oceano's not there.
Okay.
Nobody cares?
No, it's not that nobody cares. Under the emergency regulations that were implemented last year by the State Water Board, all urban water suppliers have to provide monthly reports. An urban water supplier is one that has 3,000 or more connections, and so we are not an urban water supplier. So when we see Pismo Beach and Grover Beach and the others, that's because they're urban water suppliers and the State Water Board has been tracking their actual water usage and then setting targets for them. The proposed regulations say that small community systems need to conserve 25%, but for the urban water suppliers, there's a sliding scale, and so my comments back to the State Water Board is that for small systems, we should have the same sliding scale as the urban water suppliers do. And if they implement that, then the 20% conservation target that we have is going to be perfect. But in any case, the reason why you see Grover and Arroyo Grande and those is because they're the larger systems, 3,000 connections or more. The state is evaluating all of them on an agency-by-agency basis, and that's why we see them in the paper. There was something noted to do with Santa Margarita in the paper. But Santa Margarita is like us. We're not an urban water supplier, and the confusion there is that was actually Rancho Santa Margarita down in the Irvine area.
Okay, so not our
Santa Margarita. And so that's why, is because the state's tracking all of the urban water suppliers, 3,000 connections or more on an agency-by-agency basis.
And so we have 2,000?
21. Just over, yeah. 2180.
Thank you. I know you said it earlier.
The new regs, you know, I'll bring back to your board, obviously, as a future agenda item.
Thank you, Paula.
Do you have any more questions, Karen, right now?
No. That's it.
All right. Okay, hearing none.
And then, on late received items?
Yeah.
So the one we handed out is Pismo Beach is having a workshop tomorrow at 5:30 p.m., and everybody's invited, and they're going to be doing an overview of their recycle water project efforts.
And that's going to be on Mattie B. Road?
Mattie B. Road at Pismo Council's. Pismo City Council.
Did they say anything more about this partnership they want with Oceano?
No, they had verbally indicated that to me just within the last couple of weeks, and I asked City Manager Lewis to send your board a letter to that extent as sort of the idea that when we get to future agenda items, do you want to put that as a future agenda item to discuss that further?
Well, if we do something together, you know, God, you know, far be it for me to be suspicious, but are they trying to take advantage of our disadvantaged status, or is there some benefit geographically or something to us working together with them?
So, in terms of setting a future agenda item, I think those would be the topics that would be more appropriate for discussion during an actual agenda item.
Okay.
Please add it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, is anyone going tomorrow night?
I'm.
Jennifer?
I'm going to try to if I can.
All right. Well, Lori? Well, all right.
I am.
So, again, under the Brown Act, we can all go.
Because it's not our meeting. We just can't talk.
Yeah, and the encouragement is
not to cluster.
Sit separately.
Not to cluster, yes.
I won't be going. How's that?
So, two and two.
I'm going to try.
Well, let's go. Let's do our closed session.
Okay.
I'm going to read us out to close session.
Please.
Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, conference with legal counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al. Closed session item 13B, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4, conference with legal counsel to determine whether to initiate litigation, number of cases, 1.
Thank you, sir.
You mean all these?
With them on the recycle water project.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
No.
No.
Thank you.
Our
next meeting will be
May
13th.
Here at the Oceano Community Services District.
Right. Everybody enjoy your Cinco de Mayo.
That's right. That note.
Good night.
Good night.